Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 8. I'd like to begin reading at verse 1. Then I'll read through verse 16. Let us now hear God's word. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. Behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way. Show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he marveled. And he said to those who followed, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into utter darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, let it be done to you for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. Now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with fever. So he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and served them. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and he healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Thus far ends the reading of God's word. Let us pray. Great and gracious God, how we thank you, Lord, that you have given to us your precious word, how you have preserved it for all time as a blessing to your people, how it reveals to us your holy will, how it shows us your identity, and how it continues to confront us with our sin and causes us to turn to the only one who can take away our sin, namely you. And we thank you, Lord, that in all of your holiness and glory, that you loved us in Christ. Enemies, wretched sinners, children of your wrath, you have made the children of your kingdom. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your grace to us in Christ. Pour that grace out upon us now with your Holy Spirit, that your words might speak to all of our hearts and might lead us to greater faithfulness and thanksgiving for the God who loves us so much in Christ. Bless the word now to our hearing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you for this opportunity to come to you today and to share the Word of God with this congregation. Appreciate the elders' invitation. And in many ways, I have a strong connection with this congregation, not just on the presbytery level, but your previous pastor, Reverend Biggs, was my intern 25 years ago. We've kept touch, continue to enjoy one another's, fellowship and ministries. Well, I'd like to talk to you today about this incident of Christ healing the leper. Now, let's set the stage for this healing. It's important that we do that, that we always look at the context of God's Word. What's been happening leading up to this? Beginning in Matthew 4, the Lord Jesus Christ has been beginning his ministry. Of course, you remember it began with the temptation by the evil one. But immediately after that, the Lord ascended a mount, a small hill, and began declaring the Sermon on the Mount, the way of righteousness in his kingdom. People came from all over the place. He focused at first his ministry in Galilee, in the northern part of Israel, around the cities of Capernaum and Bethesda. In chapter 8, as we see, beginning in verse 1, we read that Christ, who has been up on the mountain, now has come down the mountain. While he was on that mountain, not only did he give the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, but he also taught the Lord's Prayer to his disciples. He encouraged God's people that they must learn to love one another. He gave what God's definition of righteousness and holiness is in his kingdom. You remember how he talked about what constitutes murder and what constitutes adultery. And it's not just the act, it's even the thought that's involved. He affirmed while on this mountain that he is the one who would fulfill God's law. And furthermore, he explained to the crowds what true treasure in the kingdom of God is. There was a lot that happened on that mountain in this early ministry of Jesus Christ. Now, our text begins with the word behold. And that word behold is a marker. It's basically saying, look, something happened to bring that kind of reaction in the writers of the text. Something occurred. Something attention-grabbing occurred as Jesus comes off the mountain. And we see what it is. A leper crossed Christ's path. And he came to Jesus and boldly asked, Jesus, will you heal me? We shouldn't look past this meeting. We shouldn't rush past it. In this brief interaction between Jesus and the leper, the kingdom of God that Jesus has been talking about on the mountain is now being explained and revealed, not simply in word, but soon to be in deed, in an act. And Christ is about to show that God's idea of a kingdom is in sharp contrast to the ways and values of the kingdoms of all men. With Christ healing and teaching so many about the good news, the kingdom of God is exploding upon the dark and sinful world of man. And with this one healing of this leper, Christ shows that his kingdom is one of profound grace. Because you see, the leper symbolizes the catastrophic effects of sin in man's lives. The leper's request of Christ demonstrates his extreme need. And Christ's response to the leper has a radical impact on that man's life. He is now suddenly gone from being a leper to a new man, a new creation, with status in the kingdom of God. I'd like to first direct your attention to the leper displaying the catastrophic effects that sin brings into men's lives. Look at verse 2. Behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, you can make me clean. What an interesting picture this must have been. It's hard in a way to kind of understand the full impact of this because we don't generally see lepers. But in Jesus' day, they were commonplace. Now, this leper came to Jesus. And notice his posture. What does it say? He was worshiping Jesus. He came and was worshiping Jesus. He comes to Jesus in a manner respectful, in a manner of great awe and trembling before the Lord. We'll speak more about that worshiping in just a few minutes, but for now, think a minute about what happens in leprosy. And again, it's kind of hard to think about it, but we know a little bit about it from reading about it. Leprosy gradually invades and takes over the entire body, often incapacitating its victims. Often they have severe pain. And then it was incurable. So it led to death. But there are other kinds of sufferings than just physical that the leper endured. Imagine being unable to support yourself and being reduced to begging. That would be an economic type of suffering. Just imagine everywhere you go. People are crying out, "Leper!" And they flee. You're ostracized from social interaction. There's a social kind of suffering that goes on with leprosy. Isolated, likely depressed. He's alive, he's living his life, but there is no hope he will ever be healed. And add to all of that the fact that Leviticus 13 and 14 say that lepers were barred from religious activities in the temple. Imagine, because you had leprosy, you couldn't come and worship with God's people. You couldn't come and see the priest and find out about the priest performing the various activities and rituals, the Day of Atonement for the people. You were considered ceremonially an unclean person. The leprosy caused a lot of fear in people's minds. It was contagious. It was incurable. Lepers were scorned, rejected by almost everyone. And lepers rarely, if ever, would have a religious leader come and lift a finger to help him in his misery. Because you see, their self-righteousness would never permit them to be close to a leper and risk being ceremonially unclean. So the leper's illness brought, in summary, isolation, loneliness, despair, unimaginable suffering. No one cares. I have no friends. Everybody hates me. Nobody likes me. Yet, this leper endures public scorn and comes to Christ, worshiping him. In many ways, leprosy's physical effects on its victims is like the spiritual effect of sin on us. Both leprosy and sin impact our entire being. Like leprosy, sin dominates every aspect of our lives. It disrupts communion with God. It disrupts communion with others. It causes difficulty for us in learning how to love one another. We call, in theological terms, sin's impact on us total depravity. Our sin not only brings estrangement from others, but also from God. As sin warps our minds and our hearts, we start turning to false gods, hoping they can help us with whatever misery we find ourselves in. And Satan twists our minds to believe that God can't possibly forgive and love me, a wretched sinner. So what do? Some give up. Others do the best they can to make their way and earn their way to God. Could you blame this leper for thinking, "No one is my friend. Everyone despises me. No one will come near me. I'm miserable. I'm worthless. And I am sick, with only death awaiting me. And then draw this conclusion. If others think so little of me, what must God think? And then there's the inevitable, why did God do this to me? Even, why should I come to Him for help? But that is not, thankfully, what the leopard was thinking this leper, not leopard, what the leper was thinking this day. The leper's request of Christ is a clear admission of his need and his hope. We are not told in the text how the leper came to see that he needed Jesus. We can assume that because of all the healing that was going on, that he thought that Christ might be able to help him. But we ultimately also know this man came to Jesus because God drew him to Jesus. It was not an accident that they crossed paths that day, because now here is another example of the healing that God brings in his kingdom with Jesus Christ, the King. Imagine that this leper may have at some point reached his end of the rope. Jesus is his last hope. We marvel at his posture. He's not railing or cursing God. He's not bitter toward God. Rather, as I said before, he is worshiping God. He's worshiping Christ. And that Greek word for worship there is a particular word. It means not just as you're worshiping here in the pews, but worship was often done bowing low to the ground, falling on his knees, laying prostrate before God. Notice also in verse 2, the leper calls Jesus what? Lord. Lord, that particular word, Lord, is the Old Testament equivalent for Yahweh. God, the great I Am, Jehovah. He calls Jesus Jehovah. Respecting Christ's divine nature and authority. And by calling Jesus Lord, what does he say about himself? It's not written, but he says, I am your servant. If you're my Lord, I am your servant. Pretty remarkable. He humbles himself. How amazing his attitude is in comparison to the names that the Pharisees are calling Jesus. The religious leaders of Israel. Then the leper says to Jesus, if you are willing, you can make me clean. There's no demand there. There's no demand. He doesn't believe that he is entitled to this healing. He casts himself upon God's mercy. And in casting himself upon God's mercy, is he not saying, not my will be done, but thy will be done with me? The leper is not saying the words of Adam's disobedience in the garden. Rather, he is saying the same words of Jesus' obedience to God at the cross. Remember? Not my will be done, but thy will be done. He believes that God does not owe him anything. He admits, Lord, it's up to you to heal me if you will. And I will accept. Implied, I will accept whatever you decide. Because I know there is nothing I can do to alter my suffering. Only you can help me. That is precisely like our need if we ever want to end sin's reign in us. Because there is nothing you or I or anybody can do to break sin's power over you. Nothing you can do to remove sin's guilt. Nothing you can do to break free of the chains of sin that bind your heart to evil. To come to Christ and to end sin in you, there is only one thing you need to do. And that is believe. And you see, you can't even do that unless God mercifully opens your heart to the truth that you are a sinner and Jesus is your only advocate before God for your sin. And Jesus pays the price for your sin at the cross. The leper goes on to say, you can heal me. In verse 2. It's a bad translation, I think. Because the Greek word for can there is the Greek word from which we get dynamite. Jesus, you have power to heal me. See, it's not kind of a hypothetical if you can heal me. It's a fact. Jesus, I believe you can heal me, a leper, when nobody else can. Isn't that incredible? Christ's immediate response to this leper is an act of divine mercy. Imagine the multitudes seeing this. The kingdom of God that Jesus has taught so much about on that mountain now reaches a critical moment. On the minds of many following Christ had to be, will Jesus really help this leper? Or are Christ's teaching on the mount just pious posturing? Does Jesus really want a leper to be associated with him? Associated with his teachings? Associated with his kingdom? Associated with his gospel? If we were there, we'd be thinking those thoughts. And the answer that Jesus gives to this leper in verse 3 ought to astound all of us. And it ought to warm everybody's heart here today. Verse 3, Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. I will it. Be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Christ's answer to this leper and all sinners struggling with the power and dominion of sin in their lives. His answer is the same one he gave the Pharisees who questioned, why, Jesus, do you eat with tax collectors and sinners? Remember what he said? Mark 2, verse 17. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, and by that he meant the self-righteous. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Brothers and sisters, are you sin sick too? Have you acknowledged that you're a sinner in need of the salvation that only Jesus Christ can give you? I invite you to give up the miserable attempts to save yourself. I exhort you to turn to the only one who can help you in any problem, dilemma, sin associated you have. In the Mark 1:41 parallel, adds or prefaces what Jesus has done here in verse 3. It prefaces this phrase, Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will it be clean. That word, moved with compassion, is an interesting translation in Greek. It literally means bowels of mercy. He had a gut feeling of mercy for this sinner, this poor man. Christ's attitude to sinners is not cold-hearted indifference or judgmentalism, but compassion for the lost. He stretched out his hand. He stretched out his hand. I think that was a gesture. A gesture designed to communicate to the leper, saying to him, it's all right. Come to me. It's all right. Come to me. And think about what that meant to the leper. It's been a long time since anybody reached out their hand to him. Amazingly, Christ is reaching out to a leper, a man with a contagious and fatal disease, a man forbidden to enter the temple, a sinner, quote unquote, a quote unquote sinner, who is a social pariah, a man who has nothing of this world and its values to offer Christ. But just like the leper, Christ reaches out to all sinners, to you too, who only can offer him our filthy rags of sin. And our Lord says to all sinners who need him, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It wasn't the cold hand of indifference or condemnation the King of Glory extended to this leper, but it's the healing hand of the great physician. one of compassion and mercy. And we're not done yet. We're not done yet. There's something even more amazing than this whole, everything I've said that happens next. Jesus put forth his hand, touched him. You know, a while back there was a word that came into the vernacular called optics. This is an optical picture that I don't want you ever to lose sight of. It's one of my favorite images of our Savior. It shows us how far Jesus, God with us, our Savior, the King of the kingdom, is willing to go to be God with us, Emmanuel. Simply by touching this man, Jesus takes this man's illness onto himself. But he didn't just touch him as if you were here next to me and I reached out my finger and put my hand on your shoulder. A Greek word is really helpful here. It said, he embraced him. He hugged him. You know, Jesus, that's your God. That's how he sees you, as his child, as his loved one in Christ. Christ embraces this man. It's as if he clings to him, and he identifies with sin's misery in the leper. Pictured here is the embrace of the God-man, your sin-bearer. And as we read earlier from Matthew 8:17, quoting Isaiah 53:4, this is the reason for all of Christ's healings in Galilee. It says, this is to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases. Or, if you want, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for God made him, that is Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Under the Mosaic law, Jesus has, just by touching this leper, and surely by embracing him, Jesus himself has become ceremonially unclean. As Christ bears your sins, he pays for them by his divine blood shed at the cross. Our Savior is now walking the road, the forsaken road, the road that leads to the cross, where the Holy Father, our God, can't even bear to look at his dearly beloved Son, the Lamb of God, with all of our sin heaped upon him. 3 years later, when Christ dies on the cross, he finalizes the definite atonement for this leper's sin. But for now, this leper is a leper no more. He's not a leper anymore. He's immediately healed from his illness. No more pain, no more suffering, no more being a social pariah, no more emotional distress, no more religious isolation. All of his sufferings have vanished in one instant. The leper is a new man, now living in a new world because Christ healed him. And the same new world beckons us through faith in Jesus Christ, through the power of his death and resurrection. Everyone who knows Christ savingly is a new creation in him. And lastly, of this healing, Christ said, I will it be healed. He speaks, and the impossible is done. Nothing anyone can do can end this leper's suffering. But Christ, the Almighty, benevolent God, speaks just 5 words to him, and all his suffering is gone because God willed it so. Of course, Christ's healing is not like that of any doctor. It's immediate and it's total and it's final because it's done by God. Simply by Christ willing and saying the words, the incurable are made well of leprosy, just as the incurable are made well of sin. The poor in spirit, the lowly and despised of this world, have become esteemed in the family of God. Immediately the former sinner is made new. No longer estranged from God. God is his Father. He is reconciled, at peace with God. Jesus is his brother, and Jesus' people are his brothers and sisters. We're told here also that Christ told the leper to go and show yourself to the authorities and offer the sacrifices of Moses as a testimony to them. But the leper didn't go, did he? He didn't go. Not giving the religious leaders the testimony that the kingdom of God was now among them. See, the leper still has a ways to go to learn obedience. Don't we all? Christ's attitude toward the leper and you, the needy sinner, is never clinical, never sterile, never disinterested. Christ is moved with compassion for sinners. It's the compassion of Christ for the poor in spirit, the sick of heart, the afflicted of soul, the lonely, lost, and dying, that is so endearing to us and gives all of us lost sinners so much hope. God's amazing good news in the gospel of Christ's kingdom is on display in the healing of this leper. Come. You who are weak, poor, sick, sin-weary sinners, come to Christ and believe in Christ and his death and resurrection. Come and find rest for your souls. Come and find a home with Jesus in the family of God forever. As Jesus did say, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My challenge to anyone here today who is lonely and alienated and suffering from sin in this dark, dark world of men. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Amen.